A marketing plan for life. Do you have one? Would you like to get one? It could help you. They tell you that you need a business plan and those types of things when you open a small business or a large business. Well, did you ever consider something like that to get your life on track and get you going where you want to go? Well, Bobby Fried is going to be my guest, the author of A Marketing Plan for Life, and he'll be joining us in just a moment. Stay with us as you join us as Bobby Fried tells us his story. Understanding, that's part of the key right there. We're never asking anyone to just accept carte blanche what we present here on the program. We ask you to check it out. It's important that you do the research yourself so that, you know, it's yours. You own it. I remember years ago doing a research project and actually interviewing a guest. And he shared so many different wonderful ideas. I was very intrigued, read his book, and I thought, I'm going to check out his proofs here. So I did the investigating of what he provided in the source material, and hey, you know, it was now mine. It wasn't, oh, he said this, I checked it out. So we ask you to do the same thing. We're going to check out Bobby Fried all the way up in Carmel, California, and dealing with, of course, as we are here live on a Saturday morning, the 5th of January, 2008, and a Happy New Year to you, Bobby. How are you weathering the storm, as it were?
Well, we have 20-foot swells here, so it's been a cloudy and stormy day, but maybe we can have a lot of fun here on our radio show.
As we start out, using the storm as a nice little metaphor, how do storms like this or other storms in one's life play into a marketing plan as you talk about in your book?
Well, I kind of caught myself with a storm coming myself. See, I was a Fortune 500 corporate marketing executive making, I guess, Richard, more than my fair share of money, but I'm not so sure I was making a lot of meaning. So after 9/11, like a lot of us, I was doing some soul searching, and I realized it wasn't enough to have etched on my tombstone, "Here lies Bobby Fried." He sold a lot of stuff. And around that time, I came across a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, which hit me like a stake through my heart. It ended by saying, "To know that even one life has breathed easier because you have lived, this is to have true success." And by the Emerson standard of success, I wasn't very successful. Because, Richard, I was confusing, like maybe some of your listeners out there, I was kind of confusing having a good career with having a good life. And you probably heard this. Nobody ever said on their deathbed, "I need to spend more time in the office before they nod it off."
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the bottom line is this. We need to make it our business, if you will, to improve our life. We need to make our life our best venture yet. And how shall I say it? We need to become, let me say, entrepreneurs, if you will, of our own existence.
And that is somewhat of a new concept, in spite of the fact that more people are saying, you know, even myself, yes, I have all of these different jobs that I'm doing. I'm doing this and this and this and this, but I'm not going to do this over here, in spite of the fact that I know there's a few dollars in it for me, because I want to spend more time with my wife and my family and doing the things that I love doing. In my case, up on the hill, and so on and so forth. And that's really what the bottom line is, isn't it? It's prioritizing without the dollar sign, even though you need the dollar sign to move through life.
Yeah, I think true happiness, at least the way I'm defining it now, is that delicate balance between making money and making meaning. But unfortunately, in this country, most of us continue to define ourselves by our careers. But you're much more than a radio talk show host or a marketing guru or an author. You're also a father, a mother, a friend, or somebody who cares deeply about the community. So you can't limit yourself by the labels. As a matter of fact, I always thought, Richard, we should carry a two-sided ID card. On one side, it would say Bobby Fried, marketing guru, but on the other side, it might say Bobby Fried, galloping gourmet, because I happen to think I make a good eggplant parmesan. Hey, they're both Bobby Fried. They're both authentic Bobbies.
It's interesting that you put it that way, because not that long ago I was working for a gentleman doing some production for him, and we got to talking about my business and the name and this and that and the other, and he says, "Well, you know, when I talk to people about what you do and the project that you finished, and I hand this to them, and they say, well, where did you have this done? He says, well, Richard Dugan. I don't give them your business name. I tell them your name. He says, you need to get rid of the business name or change the business name to the personal name. And that's really what we're talking about, focusing on the person and giving that person. And we call it the personal life. And, you know, actors and actresses, people in the media are always wanting to keep their personal life private. Some achieve that and others don't. But we're talking about more than just the personal life. I mean, we're talking about the whole life, whether work plays into it or not. Do you have specific steps that one can begin to use to generate a marketing plan? I almost want to say, you know, a business plan. I remember going to an entrepreneurial class not too long ago here at Santa Barbara City College, and one of the things that they were really getting us to do in the long run was to create a business plan that we could take to financial institutions as well as to investors and so forth, saying, hey, this is what I do, this is what I want to do, this is how I'm going to do it, etc., and this is what it's going to take to do it. Can you help? Is that kind of what you're talking about here?
Yeah, well, that is what I'm talking about, Richard.
Let's break it down.
If you were doing a marketing plan for a brand, for a corporate brand, you'd start by defining who the company is, and it would start with its authenticity. And being authentic is clearly a matter of choice. And I don't mean to get too biblical on us here this morning, but the Bible tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. I see it differently. I think all of us are called, but few of us actually choose. And your destiny is going to unfold by the choices you make in life, and not just your professional life, but also your personal life as well. And to this end, I think we all need to do some, what I dub, a personal brand building. Okay, you're not Nike, you're not Apple, you're not Google. You're the CEO of your own personal brand called, get this, Me, Inc. And when you build your own personal brand, Me, Inc., you're in essence creating kind of a pulpit, Richard, for who you are and the value you add to others. So here's the punchline. If you want to buy stock, I got a tip for you today. Take personal stock in a highly valuable company called Me, Inc. I think it's the best investment you'll ever make.
Well, we would ask you to do that, folks. Bobby Fried is my guest. He's the author of Marketing Plan for Life. Now, you have many other ventures. You've been involved in a lot of things, as you mentioned to us, as far as Fortune 500 companies and what have you as we started. But you and I, we've had the opportunity to sit and talk for an hour or so when you were passing through Santa Barbara, it was great fun. I really enjoyed that. And you had shared with me that Marketing Plan for Life is right now pretty much the main book that's out there. And it's been out there for a number of years. But you have been given a number of pushes to write another one. And you've resisted that. Why?
Well, I resisted it because nothing fails like success. You know, just because you like to cook for friends doesn't mean you want to open a restaurant and work 22 hours a day at it. Or when I was in high school, I was told I was a pretty good wrestler, but that doesn't mean I wanted to have cauliflower ears. So when my book Marketing Plan for Life went number one on Amazon, my publisher, rightfully so, wanted me to immediately follow up with another book. I had a response that he thought was quite cryptic. I said, well, I'll write the next book when I understand the one I just wrote. See, I was on the same journey as the reader, you know, replete with the unfulfilled dreams of my own. So what's next for me? Well, my dream was to create a resort for rejuvenating the mind, body, and spirit. And I called it the Third Wind Resort and Life Enhancement Center. And what we want to do, Richard, is to inspire and motivate people to find their own true north, their own true purpose, their own passion in life, so they can achieve that true success that Emerson was talking about and create a living and lasting legacy. And you might say we're in the personal enrichment business.
Well, and that's what we want to do, is share with people that whole realm of enriching your life, bringing more meaning, as you talk about. It's the balancing act between meaning and money, money and meaning, and we're all striving for both. And in most cases, would you say most of us are achieving neither very well?
I think in most cases, we all struggle to achieve that balance. It's a life struggle. And again, you start by not just looking at the money side, but at the meaning side. And if you can balance both what your personal passion is with the way you make money, you're going to make a lot more money. Because don't forget, you can make a lot more meaning when you make money. Oprah Winfrey comes to mind. She makes a lot of money. She also makes a lot of meaning. So does Robert Redford. So does Paul Newman. So you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, the fun thing about everything that we do here, whether it's this program or here in Santa Barbara since we moved here back in May of 2006, is hopefully adding more meaning to our life. I know that in spite of the storm that rolled through here last night, and of course I'm the ultimate speculator when it comes to especially weather and storms. And okay, well, if they're saying that's the worst of it, that's the most potent storm, then the next one or two, they're still saying there are two, aren't going to be quite as bad. And so it'll be a nice little downpour, and it'll be a little more relaxing. And, you know, we experienced a few little bumps along the adventure trail here in the last 24 hours. My wife and I had to take care of some business up on the hill. We have these chickens. We've got to protect them from the floodwaters that could come. I guess we're kind of fortunate, though, that we sort of live up near the very top of the hill, so we don't have a lot of water coming down our way. Most of the people are going to get most of that water and any debris. I keep thinking of these things in terms of metaphors. How does one position themselves closer to the top of that hill of meaning, if you will? What are some of the things that we can do?
Well, one of the things, in order to balance money and meaning, you got to have a purpose in life, a true purpose, a true north. But here's the problem. Most of us, Richard, don't really have a clue as to what our true purpose is on this planet. And there was this research study where this was borne out, done by a Dr. William Morton. He asked 3,000 people what their true purpose in life was. And get this, a whopping 94% said, we have absolutely no idea what our true purpose in life is. So if that's the case, I'll tell you what unhappiness is. Unhappiness is not knowing what you want and killing yourself to get it. You know, some people refer to the good old USA, and we have a great country here, but they refer to us as the United States of Anxiety, USA. And you think about it, we're among the highest paid, best fed peoples of the world, but we don't even rank in the top 10 when it comes to happiness. That's reserved for Scandinavian countries. Puerto Rico comes to mind, New Zealand. So go figure, unless real happiness has something to do with achieving that delicate balance between making money and making meaning.
From your perspective, what would be one of the first things one could do to seek out and find out what their purpose is?
Well, you start by looking at not just your business goals or your professional goals, but your personal goals as well. And, you know, when it comes to professional goals, most of us can do that quite readily. But we don't understand, and we need to understand, that your professional goals and personal dreams or goals are literally joined at the hip. They're inexorably joined at the hip. Because hitting our career goals, business as usual. But when it comes to setting personal goals, well, that's a horse of a different color. It's far more difficult. And I have my own theory as to why. See, it really surprises me that most people really don't know the difference between a goal and an objective. And if you bear with me, I'll make it come alive for you. An objective is generic or general in nature. For instance, if you want to lose weight, that's an objective. But a goal is always quantifiable. It's got time. It's got numbers usually attached to it. So keeping it within that weight vernacular, if an objective is I like to lose weight, a specific goal is I like to lose 18 pounds in the next 12 months and keep that weight off in a sensible diet and exercise program. And we got to remember that vague goals produce what? Well, vague results. We might think of it like this, Richard. Goals are really dreams. How shall I say it? Dreams with deadlines attached to them.
Mm. So writing down your goal and being specific.
Yeah, and we have no problem doing that professionally. I mean, if you were in sales, you'd say, I want to hit $1 million in sales in the next 12 months or increase my profit by 20%. We have all those quantifiable things. We forget to do that, though, when we look at our personal goals. And that can cost you. I wanted to move to Carmel about 9 years ago. 2 years ago, I achieved my goal, and guess what? It cost me about $1 million more because real estate went way up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the biggest obstacles, though, Richard, people have in achieving their goals is also fear of failure, overcoming fear of failure.
Okay, but there are those who actually say it's just the opposite. They're actually afraid of succeeding, actually getting what they want.
Well, watch out what you ask for. You just might get it. And in my case, everybody refers to me now as a best-selling author, and I think of myself as a marketing guy that happened to write a book that some people liked. So you have to constantly, reposition yourself.
Yeah.
But I think fear of failure you know, you think about it. Baseball batters go to the Hall of Fame, get this, by failing two out of three times. Do the math. You get one hit out of three times at bat, and you're on your way to Cooperstown. So you got to overcome that fear of failure, and that's a very, very important thing. You can't be afraid. Great people who achieve are not afraid to fail. They think it's just a pockmark on the road to success.
It's one of those analogies, one that always seems to come to mind when we talk about that is Thomas Edison, who was the inventor of the light bulb, and some reporter came up to him after he finally achieved success in the light bulb, and it's illuminating a room, said, well, so how many times did you fail before you got it right? And he says, well, I had over 990 ways that I found that it didn't work. They weren't failures to him. They were just, okay, didn't work that way, and 990 other ways. Ah, 991, boom, it works.
Well, you're making a great point here, Richard, because there are some famous people, Edison being one of them, where perseverance made a good person great. I mean, think of Winston Churchill. Here's a guy who was the odds-on favorite to become Prime Minister of Great Britain at age 33. But he didn't become Prime Minister till age 66 when World War II broke out and facing the tyranny of Hitler. Susan Lucci, keeping it a little lighter, she lost her coveted aspiration for a TV Emmy 19 straight times before she finally won her award in 1999. Abe Lincoln, as you know, arguably one of our greatest presidents ever lived, lost a myriad of elections prior to winning the presidency of the United States. More recently, Jennifer Hudson comes to mind. Here's a lady who was thrown off American Idol, and then she gives a spellbinding performance in Dreamgirls and wins an Academy Award. So the punchline, I don't think we should be afraid to fail. You know why? Because we're in darn good company. Mm-hmm. And there's this old adage that says something like, the arrow that hits the bullseye is often the result of 100 misses.
Exactly. And so when you put your goal down, write it down, what it is that you want to achieve. And again, being specific, but then you also have to see it happening. You have to visualize it in your mind. And that is, for some people, very difficult. I can actually sit here right now, and eyes open, I actually see the same images of you and I on that November late afternoon as the sun is going down there in, I believe it was it Summerland? Carpinteria.
Padera Lane.
Padera Lane. Right there, watching the sun go down, sitting there talking and just enjoying ourselves and the conversation. I mean, I see those images. But if I wanted to replace you with someone else in that image, that's a little different story. Some people have difficulty creating in their mind's eye, their imagination, the goal they have written down. What suggestions can you give to help us to begin to be more of an artist in our own imagination and be creative and paint the picture of what it is that we have written down as that goal?
Well, successful people, truly successful people, and now I'm using the word success in quotes, the way Emerson defined it, the balance of making money and making meaning. The truly successful people script themselves for success. They take these mental images or mental rehearsals, if you will. Olympic skiers often see themselves going beautifully through each gate on the way to a gold medal prior to actually leaving the starting gate. The best real estate brokers see themselves spending the commission check on a shiny new car long before they even make the sale. So we have to, in our mind's eye, script ourselves for success. And there are some practical things you can do. For instance, when I wanted to move to Carmel, I put a picture of the beautiful Monterey coastline on my refrigerator. And every time I went to get a libation or something out of the refrigerator, there it was, my dream unfulfilled.
Mm.
And you can do that in your office. You always have to take these mental rehearsals, if you will, and script for success and see the thing, the end result happening. I mean, karate experts use the term see through the brick.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if you're joining us for the first time, this is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Bobby Freed. He's the author of Marketing Plan for Life, and he's done a whole lot more than just write the book. As he said before, he's a marketing guy who just happened to write a book, and it's interesting, as we chatted, I think that question actually came up, I don't recall if it was by your guest there or if you asked me the question if I had written a book based upon our conversation at that point. To which I had said, I have like two or three books that are floating around in my head and I need to get them down on paper. And that's, it's sort of been a dream of mine, but it actually goes back to a bigger picture that you were talking about at the beginning of the program and a quote that you referred to. And that was having to do with affecting people around you, making a difference in the lives of even one person around you other than yourself. My goal in one of my goals is to leave a lasting legacy that will make a difference in the world, that will help people to move upward and onward to achieving more. And I mean, as I've shared the story before, and I even shared this with you when I was a kid growing up watching cartoons and the Jetsons, thinking, oh, in the 21st century, that's what it'll be like. And of course, here we are, and it's not even close. But that doesn't mean that it couldn't have been or that it can't still be that wonderful way of flying through the air and those types of things.
Well, you know, you're hitting on some pretty good themes here, Richard. You know, lacking the courage sometimes to act prevents a lot of us from achieving our dreams. And it's really not enough to stare up the steps. You got to step up the stairs. And a lot of people have a book in them, but, you know, you have to take the courage, take the leap, to get criticized, or somebody will love your book. Some people won't like it. You get instant feedback now with the internet. But you have to just have the courage to take a leap and hope that there's a net below to catch you. But most people really try, but they simply don't do, because if they talk about it and don't do it, they don't fail. So I'm reminded of the scene from Star Wars 2 where Yoda's extolling Luke Skywalker. Try not. Do,
yeah.
Or do not.
Mm-hmm.
There is no try.
And that is absolutely true, because you're either going to do it or you're not. It's almost like try is a middle ground between, it's like try to get out of bed. Don't get out of bed, or I've heard the example, out of a chair, whatever. You're either going to get out of the chair or you're not.
That's quite true.
There's no middle ground.
Yeah, I mean, I often hear about companies writing their mission statements, and now people are writing their mission statements, and that's admirable. But it's not enough to have a mission statement. You got to be on a mission to make things happen in life. And sometimes, I guess it all boils down to this, sometimes your I can is far more important than your IQ. And I tend to look at it this way. Life's either a daring adventure or nothing at all. But, you know, you don't have to win a Super Bowl ring or an Academy Award or a Pulitzer Prize to achieve a living legacy. You don't really have to write your book, Richard, for all the wonderful things you're doing, interviewing people and helping them, your listeners, with their balancing their lives. In my book, A Marketing Plan for Life, I talk about achieving a living legacy, and I'm still in pursuit of it. I'm certainly not there. But legacy is important because it's reaching out to touch the lives of others. It's kind of like a torch we pass on to future generations. It's the ultimate reach. And, you know, some wise man once said, the only thing you take with you is what you leave behind. But it's never too early or even too late to achieve your living legacy. You don't have to die. I mean, Grandma Moses took up painting. Well, she didn't take it up until age 90.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods, however, on the opposite side of the spectrum, started practicing his autograph, get this, at age 5.
Oh, so, that I did not know that one.
You can achieve your legacy in different ways. I mean, for some of us, it's family, others, charitable works, and still others, it's everyday, simple, good deeds. I'm reminded that we just passed Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life. You know, he made a lot of meaning for a lot of people, and that he had a lot of friends, and he had a wonderful life, and that's why he affected a lot of other people. But, you know, for a lot of us making meaning and our legacy can be achieved through meaningful work. But then I guess it's how you view your work.
And that is true. And we're sort of working here on Tell Me Your Story. I don't consider this that much work. This is actually, for me, a great deal of fun. I actually look at Friday As I'm peering over the midnight hour of into Saturday and looking forward to this program at 11 a.m. every Saturday morning, and I start to the energy starts to rise, and I get excited about the prospects of sitting and talking with people such as yourself, Bobby, and discussing the various areas of life and living. And one of the things that we try to do here is to bring as many different points of view from around the circle, and basically they bring them into your view, the listener. Basically, it's to help to assist you in expanding your life and living. It's one of the things that we try to do with this program, to bring you new paradigms, new ideas, new concepts. And as I've said before, they may not be new to you. That's okay. Maybe it's been a long time since you've heard about these kinds of ideas. That's fine, too. And we hope that you will stay tuned if you've heard all of this before, because you may just happen to catch something that you didn't quite hear the first time. And that's why we also provide the programs up on the website, richarddugan.com, for you to go listen to after the show is over. Or if someone you want to hear the program didn't get to, well, there you go. You have the opportunity to listen to it and help them, inspire them. You can pass on a legacy to them by giving them information. Again, it's not information. It's not me, and it's not Bobby. Bobby and I just happen to be the conduits, if you will. That's kind of the way I look at it, Bobby, is that we're just here with the information, and it's almost as though once the information's put out on the table, it doesn't really belong to us. It's now for the collective, so to speak.
Well, you know, we were talking about legacy, and I'm amazed that there aren't many books written about legacy. I'm hard-pressed to find any real definitive works on the subject. I've always been intrigued by it, not so much after I died, but while I'm still living. and we talked about, for a lot of us, it's through meaningful work, but that's how, it depends on how you view your work. And you know, it reminds me of the story of the bricklayer. In the 17th century, this journalist was interviewing a bricklayer, and she said, "Excuse me, sir, what is it you do all day?" And he said, "Well, can't you see? I do this monotonous task. I mix mud, straw, and water all day for 14 hours a day. They worked long hours in those days. And, you know, I do it every day, and it's tedious and boring." She goes over to the next person who's apparently doing the exact same thing, says, "Excuse me, sir, I think I know what you're doing, but can you describe it to me?" He said, "Can't you see, madam? I'm laying the foundation for the most beautiful cathedral on earth." Hey, they're both bricklayers, but one viewed his job in a higher context or meaning.
Yeah. And that's all about perception. That's all about how you view it. And if you're looking from the bottom up or from the top down or from the middle, and you can look at it from any perspective you want. That's why we provide all the different points on the circle that we can. There's 6 billion people in the world, so there's 6 billion points of view, and then some, I'm sure. And we're talking with Bobby Fried, author of the book Marketing Plan for Life. Now, Bobby, do you have a website or any way for people to get in touch with you? I mean, I have a link to some information regarding your book, but how can people get in touch with you?
Yes, they can just get in touch with me by going online, and it's marketingplanforlife.com.
Okay, marketingplanforlife.com, all one word.
If they need to just talk to me personally, it would be Mr. Fryer, F-R-I-A-R, @yahoo.com.
Okay, it's Bobby Fryer.
Mr. Fryer.
Mr. Fryer.
M-R, F-R-I-A-R, @yahoo.com.
Okay, that's how you spell it, but you pronounce it Bobby Fried?
Fryer is just the nickname of my college.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to...
I'm still living in the past.
And sometimes that's not so bad.
I'm trying, though, to reinvent myself, Richard, and that's another one of the points that you look at when you're looking at true success. People can't get stuck in the mud and say, "Well, you know, I'm a marketing guy, so what else can I do?" A company has product cycles, but we as people have life cycles, and we're in a constant state of what I call reinvention. And it's been said that no man steps in the same river twice, for it's not the same river, and guess what? He's not the same man. So, for instance, love him or hate him, Arnold Schwarzenegger comes to mind. He has this wonderful ability to basically transform himself brick by glorious brick. I mean, think about this guy. And again, love him or hate him, he came over from Austria as a penniless immigrant. Then he works his way up to Mr. Universe by pumping a lot of iron. Then he becomes an action film star. Then he's no dummy. Marries into the Kennedy clan for a lot of money and love, hopefully both. And then he now is the governor of California, the fifth largest country in the world, if you measure states by a country. And, you know, one has to wonder what's next for Arnold. And when you look at Arnold's life, it reminds me that we have to remember that as long as we have life, our life story is still unfolding.
It's not over. And I'm wondering if that's one of the struggles that people have when they're moving forward in their life and things aren't going really well. For some reason, they've put up a wall out there in time somewhere, and it's not that far out. They might put it out there only a few days or a few weeks. They're thinking, oh, and that's the end. This is never going to change. It's always going to be this way. And so there's no hope, and it's almost as though they see an end to it.
Yeah, and again, there's some great examples of people who started late in life. Kentucky Fried Chicken's Colonel, he started in his late 60s. I mentioned Whistler's mother when she started. So it's never too late or too early to begin your journey to achieve your legacy.
You'd be interested in fielding any calls, Bobby?
Sure, that'd be fine.
If you'd like to give us a call, 879-5478, 879-KIST is the phone number, 879-5478, area code 805. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for Bobby, maybe he's got something that you haven't heard yet, and maybe a question I haven't asked yet that you would like to ask him, certainly feel free to do so. Some, so to speak, free advice here on the program. Tell me your story on a Saturday morning as it's cloudy and drizzly here in Santa Barbara, and I don't know if it's still storming up where you are. So maybe a little rain coming down, but you say the surf is 20 feet swells. The surf
is up. I'll tell you that.
Let's hit the beach. I'm not going there at all. No, thank you. But it is very interesting how we prepared. I mean, we were talking about this storm in particular for 3 or 4, if not 5 days prior to its arrival yesterday. And yet we also know that storms are going to come in our life. I mean, certain things, we don't know when they're going to happen. You know, we're going to have loved ones that are going to pass on. We're going to have, you know, maybe problems with our vehicles, and it's going to happen. We're going to have problems in the business, or if we're an inventor, you know, we're going to go through 990 or 1,000 or more tries before we get it the way we want it so that it works. But we it's kind of like it's out there. We know that those are the possibilities, but we don't really plan for those kinds of things. Is that something that you have to incorporate into a marketing plan for life?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it was John Lennon that said, life is what happens when you're making other plans. And so I really remembered that quote. But having said that, if you don't know where you're going, any road you take is okay. So you need some sort of plan to set you on the right path. And, you know, it's kind of timely we talk about this because here we are where a lot of people in January have made their New Year's resolutions. And basically, most people basically will forget them by Groundhog's Day, which is February 2nd. So almost after rolling in the new year, you know, we have these blurred visions of unfulfilled past resolutions still echoing in our ears and dancing in our heads. But we have to remember that most New Year's resolutions are made in one day, but keeping them is a year-round process. And we need to be flexible enough, to your good point, Richard, to accommodate those real life changes and passages that could occur in any calendar year, whether it be a death in the family or somebody close to you, a divorce, a new relationship, maybe loss of a job or a new job, because life has a way of throwing us some curveballs and knuckleballs and some potholes and boulders thrown along life's path. So you got to have a marketing plan for life, but you need to be flexible enough, to your point, Richard, to adjust the plan to your current life situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, adjustments do have to be made because, again, things happen. They even told us that in our entrepreneurial class, and I've heard that many times as well in other situations where, all right, you don't want them to happen, but you do need to put those into the plan just in case. And when you go to a financial institution or to an investor or anybody else that you want to have involved in your program, they're actually going to want to see that. They're going to want to see that you've really thought this through. You've really put some attention and some brain power into creating this plan for your business. Well, why wouldn't you? It's your life, for goodness sake. not a business. You know, the businesses can go by the wayside. You're still here. The business dies, but you're still alive. Now what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, basically, when you dwell on hitting and the timing of personal dreams, you don't, it's your life, as you said, Richard, and you don't want to put your personal dreams on hold. You don't want to let your personal dreams or become, how shall I say it, become monuments, if you will, to your good intentions. Reminded of James Dean, and by now you know I like quotes. Actor James Dean once pined, dream as if you'll live forever, but live as if you'll die today. I want to repeat that. Dream as if you'll live forever, but live as if you'll die today. That's kind of ironic since he died at age 21.
And then, of course, the phrase about, you know, the good dying young, and that gets me to wondering about, well, then who is dying old?
right.
You know? But
I think, though, we got to remember that the tragedy of life is not so much death. It's what we allow to die within us while we're still living.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We let go of so many important aspects as we're scrounging around and seeking out that dollar, that money, and we lose sight of the meaning of life. Give us a little bit more on that as far as those little bits and pieces of us that we allow to die.
Well, you know, basically, we need to understand that each of us is given a limited number of heartbeats. I don't want to be morbid. But, you know, if you're 43 or 44 years old right now, you're already, if you're a male, you're living the last 30 of your life, okay? So every heartbeat counts, so you can't squander them living somebody else's dream, all right? And you remember all those wonderful dreams we had when we were in college and when we were younger in school? You know, it's amazing. That, when I did research for my book, I asked people the happiest time in their life, and they all hearkened back to their college days or high school days when they didn't have any money, but every dream was possible, and they were surrounded by people around them who also had similar dreams. And we kind of lose that when we get a little older. So all those wonderful dreams we had when we were younger, the perfect time to act on them is now. And perhaps Andy Rooney summed it up best. He said, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer it gets to the end, the faster it seems to go. So, you know, life's short, you know, and you don't want to harbor any regrets.
Yeah.
And there's this wonderful quote from John Barrymore that actually closes my book. He said, a man is not old until his regrets take the place of his dreams.
Well, I have to say that what you're talking about is quite true, even for myself, at least in terms of the dreams. Now, that's not to say that I don't have a lot of dreams now. My wife and I actually created a dream board, and we have it up on the inside of the back door of the house we live in. And we have just, I can't believe there's any room left for anything else on the board. We're going to have to get a bigger one. But when I think back to some of my happiest times, even though I have had just the most incredible time in the last almost 2 years here in Santa Barbara, there have been some wonderful times in the last 10 years as well. But as far as if you were to ask me, so what's your favorite job? I'd go back to high school when I was delivering newspapers, because basically, with the exception of the specific time period that you had to deliver the morning or the evening paper, Your time to collect the money and go getting additional subscriptions, you did that anytime you wanted, and you got to meet all kinds of great people, which is, I think, the reason why I enjoy doing these programs, because I get to meet all kinds of great people this way, too. And I don't have to go bicycling out in the rain.
All right.
So, you know, it's interesting how we let all that go as we get older. And we need to revitalize that in some way. Any special techniques or ideas that you can offer up for helping us to kindle, re-spark the dream factory that's within us?
Well, yeah, we hit on a number of them. You basically have to find out, you have to take time to define your purpose, and that's no easy task. You have to sit down and say, okay, when I was in my full period of joy, what was I doing? You might ask yourself a couple of questions. If somebody I really respected or loved, watch me doing that which I did great or as good as anybody, what would they see me doing? Hopefully they'd see you and I doing a radio mm-hmm. interview.
Mm-hmm.
But you can flip-flop that question and say, now, what would you want them not to see you doing? And in my case, it would be going over some P&L statement, profit and loss statement. You know, that's got numbers and attached to it, and I'm not that good at that. I'm better in the visionary area. So what happens to us, a lot of us get stuck doing in our jobs or even in our life doing the very thing that we're not passionate about, we're not good at, we don't like, and it doesn't go to our strengths. And I think it's a, of course, a strength to know your weakness, but it's even a bigger strength, get this, to know your strengths. I think too many people spend too much time worrying about what they're not good at rather than honing in on what they're really passionate and good at. And you could always augment your weaknesses with people who have complementary skills. For instance, I've always surrounded myself with wonderful accountants and bean counters, affectionately called, and finance people who keep me out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is one great balancing act, and too many people tip the balance to their weakness and not their strengths.
Because they focus on the weakness. They accentuate the weakness. That's what we do. And it's funny, I would tell people that if this planet were to hold a seminar for the rest of the universe on a specific subject, it would be crisis management, because that's what we do better than anything else. We manage our crises, large or small. Now, I'm not saying necessarily we do that really well as far as managing them, but that's what we do. And when we wait until we get into the crisis mode before we act, and I think that's part of what kills the dream too.
I think all of us are unique, and we should revel, if you will, revel in our uniqueness. There's never going to be another you in recorded history. I mean, each one of us represents kind of a distinct and unique miracle, if you will, and we should revel in that. We should respect our unique strengths and attributes, and I think use them to bring value and happiness to others. In a strange way, I'm trying to do that. I was a marketing guy that wrote a book using the principles that I used to make money and put them up the flagpole, if you will, to see if those same principles could help me make meaning for others and, of course, myself along the way.
Mm-hmm. Are you where you want to, where you thought you'd be about this point in your life, or are you maybe rephrasing that question? Are you just where you want to be right now? Are you comfortable with it? Are you happy with it? Is there joy in that space where you are now?
Well, if I might share with the viewers where I really am, I've been a type of guy that has always reached his professional goals. But when it came to my personal dreams, I put them off on the back burner and never looked at them the same way. And now that I'm using my own discipline that I use to make money to make meaning, I'm trying to not so much be in the pursuit of happiness, but to be happy in the moment. I was a guy that was always, no matter what I had, it was like the concept of enoughness. And when is enough enough, right? And I always appreciated what I had, but it was always this next round, this next level. And I think for me, I have to understand that life is not just one pursuit. It's actually reveling in your uniqueness during that day in the here and now. So that's why I didn't write the second book yet. I want to see if I can achieve what I have not achieved, namely that balance, that life balance that I think would make me a more successful person.
You know, and that is actually a very refreshing that even you, who have written the book, Marketing Plan for Life, are still working on that goal, if you will. Because even I think about all of these things that I have read and the people I've met over the last 30 years of my search, and wondering, why am I not in this place where these people that I have met and learned from are? I guess it's best summed up by a comment that I made to my brother in a conversation we had about 10 or 15 years ago, and we were chatting about this particular subject, and I shared something with him, and he says, well, it's about time you got it. You're like 30 or 31 years of age. It's about time you got it. And what dawned on me was, it's not when you get it. It's just that you get it. There's no timetable on it, and you'll get it when it's time.
Exactly. And for me, and I think for some of your listeners out there, we need to be thankful for what we have and live in the moment. And, you know, the other thing that I've always strived for is to stand for something. And I'm struggling with that because I thought my legacy would be, if I wrote a book, especially if it became a bestseller, you know, I would be a truly successful person. And, you know, in a strange way, although it brought me a lot of joy and happiness, it didn't last that long. Because I'm the type of guy to say, well, now what? You know, you talk about a marketing plan for life. You know, nothing fails like success. What now? And that's why it's important for me to live out my dream to do this resort, which helps people in the same position I'm in, where they can balance money and meaning. And so that's an important part of my dream. And I'm not saying it's not good to have a pursuit. But you have to be grounded and understand and live every day to its fullest. Basically, the third wind resort, you know, is going to render hopefully memorable experiences to the guest and create kind of a guest for life program where guests, long after they leave our resort, can reconnect with the world's leading authorities in their chosen corridor of interest, kind of like that college we mentioned earlier that we left a while ago. And the basic program elements would be discovering your true passion, living a healthy lifestyle, rejuvenation and replenishing the mind, body, and spirit, living in the now, sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Building lasting relationships,
mm-hmm.
reawakening the creativity within us.
Oh, yeah.
And the wild card would be developing the art of fine living, appreciating what's out there, like food and wine, art, travel, and even maybe making meaningful investments that are also profitable. So in a sense, you know, the book didn't quite do it for me because I'm still on the journey with my readers, and I think if hopefully if I can do this resort, I can calm down a bit and say, well, you know, now maybe I'm on my way to achieving my living legacy.
Well, I love how these interviews go where they just take on a life of their own, because you basically went in the very direction that I wanted to talk about, and that is the resort. And you've shared with us many of the things that you want to impart to and leave with the guests who would come there and share for a period of time and then move on to the next level in their lives, but then taking with them all of those wonderful jewels that they will have gathered at the resort as a time of R&R, as I like to call it, rest, relaxation, maybe research, so to speak, but into themselves and kindling those different elements that you've spoken about. The website is marketingplanforlife.com. That's marketingplanforlife.com. And it's Mr. Fried, F-R-I-E-D.
That's Mr. Fryer.
Fryer, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, like Fryer Tuck. Mr. F-R-I-A-R at yahoo.com. It's a tongue twister.
Yeah, it's a little bit. But it's also up at your website as well, and they can go there and check it out. And you'll also be able to hear this program again in its entirety up on my website, richarddugan.com, which is linked, has a link to marketingplanforlife.com. You can also get to his website, his email, and so forth. And you can listen to this interview again by going to the radio show's page and scrolling down to where this interview will be about 10 or 15 minutes after the broadcast ends, and share it with your friends and family and anybody else that you'd like to. Get in touch with Bobby and you know, email him and connect with him to hopefully, if you haven't done so yet, get your life jump started into a direction that you want. Find your life's purpose. So review, as you said, Bobby, earlier, when was it that I experienced that kind of joy? And by the way, that brought to mind a public service announcement that I used to see back in Phoenix that showed these little kids doing these various activities, where it was a kid playing in the dirt with his trucks, or a little girl playing with her dolls, or another little boy playing with a toy stethoscope and different things. And then it would transition into an adult, like the little kid was playing with the trucks. Here's an adult. He's working on a contracting site, a construction site, working with heavy equipment. And then the little kid playing with the doll. Here's an adult woman in a school teaching kids. And then, of course, from the stethoscope and the little kid to a doctor or someone in the medical profession. When I saw that PSA, I thought, my gosh, how could you get more right as far as guiding people in a direction to go? And I don't think the PSA had anything to do with life's purpose. It was another focus. But it was, I think, allowing kids to grow up and maintaining and hanging on to those things that they did as children that may very well bring them joy as they move through their lives.
Well, you know, you're making an interesting point. We talked about the not-so-easy task of defining your true purpose in life. Maybe an easier way to look at it is we all have to stand for something, and it all comes down to our core values. And, you know, one of the ways you can look at your purpose is to go down a list of your core values and what you stand for and see if you're living a life that's consistent with those values, whether it's integrity, honesty, because it all boils down to this. We are what we value. Even in sales seminars, which I do sometimes, I say, you know, people buy valuables, get this from people they value. It's that simple. And I'm reminded of that quote from Alexander Hamilton, who once pined, "Those who stand for nothing will fall for anything."
Mm-hmm.
So we need to strive to live by our core values each and every day. We're never going to do it. We're not perfect. We can't do it every day. But at least we have a starting point. It's like a, you know, the beacon we can return home safely to. In short, we need to walk the talk. Mm-hmm. And I think, actually, Elvis Presley had an interesting thing. I was reading his life story, and he was saying that values are like fingerprints or finger paintings. Nobody's are the same, but we leave them all over everything we do. He probably said after that, "Thank you very much."
Mm.
But we have to stand for something, and you can do that when you're 8 years old, and you do it when you're 98.
Well, it's something that we just, all of these different things that you've shared with us, we just need to get a handle on. We need to connect with. We need to embrace and make happen and make work for ourselves and our lives. Because otherwise we're going to go through the rest of our lives achieving something for somebody else, making somebody else's dream come true, supposedly, you know, possibly. And we just go through this life and we have no meaning. We have, as you said, what was it, the quote having to do with a legacy is what you leave behind that you take with you, something along those lines?
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, if you leave nothing behind, it is kind of sad. I mean, there are those I look at people's faces when I'm walking around, and so many people have a frown. They're the corners of their mouths are just down, and it actually makes me want to force myself to smile if I'm not already, because it's like these are older people. I mean, older than me, and they're just walking around and they just look so sad. And I'm thinking, my goodness, you just what are you thinking right now? Where have you been, and what have you not done? What have you not achieved? We should be walking around, and they, of course, the old adage about it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile.
Right.
It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy to feel badly about not having achieved the things that you wish you had achieved.
And, you know, a lot of us always think, well, we'll get to it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And again, and tomorrow, we don't have to.
And tomorrow.
And then tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And, but, you know, and we have to understand that we need to at least attempt to live life to the fullest. Every man dies, but not every man actually lives, you know, life to the fullest.
Yeah.
And, in fact, unfortunately, if you read the obituary columns, I read them a lot to see things that people achieve. But in some cases, you see the fact that a lot of people die with their music still left in them. They were, you know, about to do something, but, you know, they didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I have a cancer patient friend of mine, a very close friend, who's not doing so well these days. And she has on her wall in her bedroom a quote from Hunter S. Thompson, who kicked around a lot here, by the way, in the Carmel, Monterey Peninsula area, Big Sur area. He had one of the neatest quotes I think I've ever seen, not just for a cancer patient, but for all of us. And if you mind, this one I have to read. I don't have to commit this totally to memory, but life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, "Wow. What a ride."
Well, my wife and I like to refer to it as an adventure, and the adventure was quite spectacular yesterday, and even this morning when we got up, the adventure continued. Just one of the most freakish incidents occurred with my car. I backed it up to the house, and it was on a hill, so the front end was lower than the back end, and then the car was actually tilted to the right, or to the passenger side. Ironically, I have a small leak in the gasket to the taillight. The floor of both the front and back seat passenger side were full of water. that was where the water came from the back end of the car. I mean, that is a freak incident I never would have expected. It was very, very strange. But those are the things. And, of course, after we got it all cleaned up, my wife gave me a hug, and she says, and the adventure continues. And I said, yes, it does.
As long as we have life, our life story is still unfolding, Richard.
Absolutely.
Right? We said that earlier.
Absolutely. Well, Bobby Freed is my guest, and we're just about out of time here on the program. And before we go, I would like to have you go ahead and give out that contact information and website information so people can get in touch with you, Bobby.
Okay. It's marketingplanforlife.com. Just marketingplanforlife.com. And if you want to reach me quickly and personally, it's Mr. M.R. Fryer, like Fryer Tuck, F as in Frank, R as in Ralph, I as in Irving, A.R., at yahoo.com.
Well, Bobby, I want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing your ideas and perspectives from A Marketing Plan for Life and from your life. I know that it was more than just the book that we've talked about. It's we've kind of really stepped way out there. And I'm also hoping that the surf swells will calm down a little bit and not wash Carmel away.
Well, let's have a great 2008.
Absolutely. We'll stay on the line, Bobby, to chat with you just a few moments after the program. And I ask you to join us again next Saturday as we continue our journey and our adventure here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm going to be talking with a gentleman by the name of Alan Lapidus. He is the author of Everything by Design. Now, he is an architect, ergo the book. He's designed many, many different buildings, but he's also working to make this a better place, not only by helping to design green buildings, but we're also going to talk a little bit about everything by design in your life. How has this experience of designing these wonderful buildings for people like Donald Trump and Eisner and Disney, how has that impacted his life? And we know it's impacted your life if you've ever been to any of the buildings that he's designed, and we'll find out which ones those are. We ask you to join us here on Tell Me Your Story next Saturday at 11 a.m. I'm Richard Dugan, and I really do thank you for joining us, and I thank Bobby for being with us as well. And I thank everybody who goes to the website, checking out the programs, and email me at richard@richarddugan.com. Go to my website, and best most of all, love to Lal.